that Jesus bled and died for me, and I see his wounds and his hands, his feet, my Savior on that cursed tree. passion. Your presence is enough when I'm in the mystery.
Aren't you glad this morning to be living, dwelling, stationed, positioned in the hand of your Heavenly Father, belonging to Jesus today as children of the Most High God, resting secure in His provision and His faithfulness, testifying daily to His goodness and His amazing grace. Thank God He supplies us, He covers us, He knows where we are right now, He sees us. He has everything taken care of. He knows the future. Amen. He owns tomorrow. Yes. The psalmist said to the Lord, Lord, to you belongs the day and also the night. He owns the day and the night. Yes. The mountain and the valley. He owns it all and He keeps us in His hands. And we're so blessed to be His children today. And it's our privilege this morning to be able to cast our cares upon Him, to lay our needs before the Lord and just leave them in the hands of the Lord and trust the Lord that He is working. Do you trust the Lord today? Can we just, if you have a need this morning, let's lift it up to the Lord right now. Father, thank you so much for your faithfulness and love, and thank you for your provision for us. Everything that we need, Lord, bought and paid for through the precious gift of the shed blood of Jesus Christ, your Son. Thank you, Lord, for paying the ultimate sacrifice that we might be saved and forgiven and delivered and healed and set free and provided for and have a hope that goes far beyond this world and into the presence of God in heaven. We love you, Lord. We thank you for your blessings today. We bless you in Jesus' name. And all God's people said a good amen. Amen. Would you take a moment right now to reach out and welcome everybody, make everybody feel welcome to church this morning, and then you may be seated for 1 minute. We want to say a word of welcome to those who might be here for the very first time today. Thank you for joining us this morning. And we have a little gift for you out in the lobby after service. If you'd like to stop by our welcome center, we'd love to meet you out there. And thank you for joining us. Thank you to all of those who are joining us online as well today. We want you to feel the presence of the Lord right where you are. This morning, we pray that the blessing of the Lord will rest upon you and upon everyone who's gathered here for church this morning. We say welcome home to our missions team who are just returning last night from way up north at Trinity Bible College of the Assemblies of God. Do we have any of the team members here in this early service? I see some of, stand up, guys. They're half the team is here in the early service. Thank you all. Pastor Ryan reports, and I know Nina would confirm it, job well done, much accomplished in the remodeling of their dormitories there at the university, and we thank the Lord for the good work that he is doing. In just a few moments, we're going to be welcoming Sister Martha Tennyson to the pulpit to preach the Word of God. How many of you were here the last time Sister Tennyson preached to us? It's been a while. But maybe 40 or 50 of you were here back then. And Sister Tennyson since then has been all over the world. Last year she was named Evangelist of the Year for the Assemblies of God. She is a pastor, evangelist, and preacher extraordinaire, and a dear friend who tried unsuccessfully to set me up several times in my younger years. Unsuccessfully. And I'll never forget attending a general council several years ago in Kansas City. And Sister Tennyson called me on the phone and said, Lowell, can you come down and meet a young lady? I want you to meet a young lady pastor from Florida. Do you remember that, Sister Tennyson? From Miami, Florida. So I said, well, sure, I'll be right down there. Got down onto the convention floor and found Sister Tennyson. There she had a beautiful young lady from Miami, Florida, lady pastor from there with a church about the same size as our church in Miami. She was a presbyter for her section there in the Assemblies of God. And I met her and I thought, ooh, she's a wonderful young lady. And we said goodbye. We'll maybe talk to you later. I called Sister Tennyson on the phone. I said, Sister Tennyson, do you think she'd be willing to move from Miami to Jefferson City, Missouri? Sister Tennyson said, no, I don't think so. I said, well, I'm not interested in being her associate pastor in Miami. And I've just found out from Sister Tennyson the rest of the story. She is still not married. That's because I won't leave Jefferson City and she won't leave Miami. I don't even know her these days. Don't devise any. No. But that was quite an ordeal back then. But Sister Tennyson will be coming to preach for us in just a little bit. Her accompaniment this morning, who traveled with her all over the country, Charles and Joanne Wilson. Would you stand, Charles and Joanne, my longtime friends? Let's welcome the Wilsons. Yes. And Charles was the longtime manager of our campgrounds down at the Lake of the Ozarks, and dear friends and wonderful people. And Sister Tennyson, let's give a good warm welcome to Sister Martha Tennyson today. Hold on just a minute. She will come after we sing our final song today. So let's stand. I told you you could sit down for 1 minute. It's been three. Aren't you blessed this morning? Stand together, and Heidi, lead us again before we go to the preaching of the word today.
Exceedingly abundant, you may be seated, abundantly, all that we ask or think,
yes,
according to the power that's working within us. Isn't that wonderful this morning? Great to be here in the house of the Lord. Great to be with Pastor Lowell again. And let me emphasize, I unsuccessfully did not find him anyone. And at my age, I'm about to run out. It's great to see you this morning. great to see my dear friend, Pastor Peter Dismore. Pastor Dismore was in our church. Is Tixiana here? On her way. Okay, hon. Pastor and Tixie was in our church in Radcliffe, Kentucky. He was, of course, as I, he was a much younger individual. But we were so, so proud to get to pastor him and good to see him. Once again, it's good to have the Wilsons that brought me this morning. We appreciate it so much. How many know his ministry is more than pulpit ministry? So I thank God for the ministry they have of driving Miss Daisy around. Amen. Many of you raised your hand or didn't raise your hand that had never heard me. How many's ever heard someone speak and you wonder how old they are? You wonder how much they weigh. You wonder if that's really their hair. You wonder if they have their own teeth. You wonder if they're married. You wonder if they have any children. How many's ever wondered those things? Honey, if you haven't, pack a lunch, you will. Amen? Because we all do. So I'm going to relieve you of all those questions today. As of April the 10th, I was 81 years old. I know that surprises some of you. You thought I was older than that. I went to have a facelift last year, and they lifted it up and put it back down. Wasn't anything to work with. I am an octogenarian. How many knows what that is? That means I'm in my 80s. Amen. This is my hair. You can tell it has turned white. Don't care what color it turns as long as it don't turn loose. These are my teeth because I have the receipt for them. Anything I buy, I feel like belongs to me. Amen. Now, they're like the stars. They come out every night. When I was in the hospital having our son, evening nurse comes in on her shift at 11, and I say to her, I'd like a cup of water. Evidently, she didn't understand what I wanted the water for. She said, no, I'm going to bring you milk. It'll be better for your teeth. So I put my teeth in the milk. She being a nurse, I felt like she knew better than I did. The morning nurse comes in and says, what's in this milk? I said, my teeth. She said, and why would they be in the milk? I said, I don't know. The evening nurse said it'd be better for them. On difference, I can tell there's a little creamier than there was, and I put them in there. I am 5'2 in height. My husband was 5'3 and a half. We both went to trace our family tree and found out we didn't have one. It's just a stump. There's no tree to it. He said to me one day, honey, I wished I was tall, dark, and handsome. I said, baby, you're already handsome. Just stand on a chair and turn out the light. Amen? And take care of the rest of it. I weigh 110 pounds. Now, I've gained weight. Only weighed 6 pounds and 10 ounces when I was born. Thank the Lord I have. Now, I told you how our height. Thank God a limb has grown out of our stump. We have a son that's 6'1 in height. If he gets out of line, we bite him on the kneecap about as high as we can reach. The most important thing I have to tell you, I was saved at the age of 7. Filled with the baptism of the Holy Spirit at the age of 10. Church, it's more real today than it was 71 years ago. Amen? The power of God has not changed in my life. And I'm so glad for His power and His love. Amen. Let me say to the worship team, you did an excellent job bringing us into the presence of God. Thank you, musicians. Thank you, worship team, so very much. You see, worship is not activity. Worship is attitude. Worship is not lip service. Worship is lifestyle. Long after the music stops, I'll still be worshiping. Why? He'll still be God. Amen? I worship Him because He's God, not because everything's going my way, but because He's God. The psalmist said, know you that the Lord, He's God. And that's why I worship. Thank you, worship team, for bringing us into the presence of God. Scripture this morning, Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Very familiar portion of Scripture. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not into thine own understanding, but in all of thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy paths. Trust in the Lord. Brother Joe Don, would you stand and ask God to anoint me, please, this morning? Thank you.
Dear Heavenly Father, we come into your presence today.
Yes, God.
Lord, I ask that you fill this place in our hearts with the love of Christ.
Amen.
Father, I pray for Sister Tittison today that you would anoint her, that you would direct her, that you would guide her words, that you would be her vessel, Heavenly Father, that you would, that your anointing would pass through her and fill our hearts and our minds with the power of Jesus Christ. Lord, we give you all the praise and the glory today for the services. Thank you for Sister Citizen and for her wonderful heritage and for her testimony. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you, my brother. Appreciate it. Love you. I want to minister to you this morning on this subject, and I want you to hear the title of my message. It's not the how, but it's the who. Trust in the who with all thine heart. Lean not into the how, but in all thy ways acknowledge the who, and the who shall direct thy paths. We're going to go through the scripture this morning with people that trusted not the how, but the who. We're going to begin with Abraham. When God came unto Abraham and said, you're going to be, or the angel, you're going to become the son, or the parents of a son. They were elderly. They were up in age. And Abraham says, how can this be at my age? He didn't tell Abraham how. He said, at the appointed time, I will come. See, Abraham could trust in God's word because he could trust in God's character. Folks, the word of God that we stand on, I trust in, that's the foundation of my faith. See, I don't trust in human guesswork, the opinions of a sentimental soul. I don't trust on experience or emotion. But my foundation of my faith is built on the infallible, immutable, inspired, ever-living word of Almighty God. That's where the foundation of my faith lies. Amen? So Abraham could trust God's word because he could trust his character. Now, he did not ignore the natural circumstances, but he did not dwell on them. Amen? So this morning, church, I want to get in our spirit and in our heart things that we don't understand, things that we're trying to figure out, things, how can I do this? Let go of the how this morning. Get your eyes on the who and say, I'm going to look unto him, the author and the finisher of my faith. Hallelujah, God. It's not the how, church, it's the who. I don't have to try to figure it out. Why? Because he's God. See, results is not up to me. When I trust the word of God, results is up to God. I don't bring anything to pass, but I look unto him and let him do the work. While we were pastoring First Assembly in Radcliffe, Kentucky, we suffered a terrible tragedy where our church bus was hit head-on by a drunken driver, resulting in the deaths of 27 of our precious people. On that bus was our youth choir director. She had two children with her, a 10-year-old daughter and a 14-year-old daughter. None of the three made it off. And the morning we had to tell her husband about the situation with his family, he looked at my husband and he said, Pastor, I am an only child. My parents were only children. My mother died 6 months ago. My father was killed during the Korean War. He said, I do not have a mother or father, brother or sister, aunt, uncle, or cousin, and now I don't have a wife or any daughters. I'm going to stop here off the cuff this morning and say something to you. If somebody calls you brother or sister, mama or daddy, husband or wife, grandma or grandpa, aunt or uncle, you thank God. You've never seen the desperation, Pastor, in the face of a man that said, I don't know anyone that's related to me. He fell on the floor of my husband's office, and I said to my husband, he's going to have a stroke or a heart attack. We became family to him. God has since given him a ministry to men and to families. He was the immense director for the state of Kentucky for 30 years. On March the 4th, 1990, he was to be in North Carolina to do a service. And he said, I looked at my calendar and thought, I don't want to go to North Carolina. The 4th would have been his oldest daughter's 16th birthday. And he said, I wanted to go to Poplar Bluff, Missouri, lay 16 red roses on her grave, wrap my arms around a coal monument and cry my eyes out. That's what I wanted to do. He said, I tried to cancel the engagement. There was no answer. And he said, he thought to himself, I'll pray Saturday morning and see what God has me to do. And said, the Lord spoke to his heart and said, I want you to wire 16 red roses at church where you're going. Want you to be on your plane this afternoon. And he said two words, God, why? And God said two words back. I'm going to get down here a minute. I'll get back up. I want to see the whites of your eyes a minute. He said, God, why? And God said two words back to him. Trust me. Folks, the reason we don't trust God any more than we do, we only trust people we know. We only know people we fellowship. When my husband first started dating me, he took me to the door pastor first 6, 7, 8 months, stuck out his hand and said, I sure enjoyed the fellowship. After 8 months of that, I said, I can get this at church. Let me tell you, through fellowship, I got to know him. Are you following me? And after I got to know him, church, hear my heart. There was never a natural individual walking on the face of this earth that I trusted any more than my husband. He was a man of integrity. He was a man that never lied to me, never cheated on me. He was a man of God. How did I arrive at that opinion? Pastor Peter, it began with fellowship, okay? And the more I fellowship God, the more I'm going to know God. And the more I know God, the more I'm going to trust God. Amen? God said to Lee, trust me. Lee got up from where he was praying, wired 16 red roses at church where he was going. Pastor picked him up at the airport and said, Lee, we received 16 red roses for the church today. What are they for? He said, Pastor, I don't know. Just trust God and trust me. Sunday morning, he was praying, and the Lord said, there's going to be a special young lady there today, and I want you to give her those 16 red roses. I'll let you know who she is. He said, he walked into the Sunday school class, youth class, no one in there witnessed to his spirit. He walked into the worship service, said to the youth pastor, if another young lady comes in here today, tell me her name. He said, in the middle of the worship service, a young lady walked down the aisle, sit on the front pew, and the Lord said to Lee, that's her. He said, I looked at the youth pastor and said, what's her name? He said, her name is Missy. He said, when I got up to minister, I said, folks, I'm going to be as transparent with you today as I know how to be. I didn't want to be here. Today would have been my oldest daughter's 16th birthday. I promised her when she got to be 16, I was going to give her 16 red roses, take her out to lunch. It was going to be our day. I wanted to go to Poplar Bluff, Missouri, take 16 red roses, lay them on a grave, wrap my arms around a coal monument and cry my eyes out. But the Lord told me to come here today. He told me to wire 16 red roses to this church. And a few minutes ago, he told me to give them to Missy. He said, come up here, honey. You're going to be my daughter today. I'm going to give you these roses. Going to take you and your youth group out to lunch. And he said, I put my arms around her and said, I'd rather hug flesh and bone than I would a cold monument. He said, that whole church broke down weeping. Just weeping. After the service, Missy came to him and said, Mr. Williams, you don't know me. Of course, he didn't. She said, 3 years ago, my mother dropped me off on the streets of Jacksonville, Florida. I don't know who my father is. I never met him. 3 months ago, a lady evangelist from the Assemblies of God picked me up off the streets of Jacksonville, Florida, brought me to Teen Challenge here in North Carolina. I started attending this church and gave my heart to the Lord. Mr. Williams, I awaken to the truth today. Today is my 16th birthday. She said, I began to cry. And I said, God, I don't know where my mother is. I don't know who my father is. Every young lady would like to have 16 red roses for her birthday. Jesus, if you're who they say you are, and if you love me like they say you do, when I go to church today, let someone give me 16 red roses. Mr. Williams, you made the love of Jesus Christ so real to me. I'm going to finish high school. I'm going to finish Bible school so I can help other hurting young people like myself. Folks, he didn't try to figure out the how, but when he began to look to the who, what happened? God took the hurting heart in the man of a state of Kentucky, sent that hurting heart to the state of North Carolina to let a 16-year-old girl know, I am who they say that I am, and I can do what they say that I can do. Amen? Oh, church is not the how, but it's the who. Hallelujah. So I begin to look unto him and say, I don't have to figure it out. He didn't have to figure out before he got there, how am I going to do this? What am I going to do with these 16 red roses? How is this going to work? But he kept looking to the who. And the who will work it out. Every time. Every time. You see, Abraham showed us the importance of faith. Let's go on. We're not doing a watch night service. David, you know the story of him facing a giant. And the king said, how are you going to do this? You're just a boy. This man's a man of war from his youth. How are you going to fight this giant? You see, the image of David and Goliath is considered a mismatch. There's a definite underdog. But it's not David versus Goliath. It's Goliath versus God. And God wins every time. You know, in that situation, David knew something that the children of Israel did not know and the king of Israel did not know. You know what David knew that they didn't know? The battle is the Lord's. Amen? They didn't know that, but David did. Why? He had been in communication with the who. And the king said, how can you do this? How can you do this? And David said, oh, king, one time there was a lion and a bear that came into my flock, and the Spirit of the Lord came upon me, and I was able to deliver my flock from the lion and the bear. And that same God, the who, that same God that delivered the lion and the bear into my hands is going to deliver this giant into my hands. Amen. He didn't tell him the how. He told him the who. It's not the how, but it's the who. Let's go on. Mary, the mother of Jesus. The angel came to her and said, you're going to become the mother of the Son of God. Her first words were, how can this be? The angel didn't tell her how. He told her the who. He said, the Holy Ghost is going to come upon you. And Mary said, be it unto me according to thy word. And honey, when she said that, Jesus was conceived in her. She rode that boat for nine. He rode that boat for 9 long months. Finally landed on the shore of Bethlehem. He's Abraham's ram, Isaac's well, Jacob's ladder, Samuel's horn of oil, David's slingshot, John the Revelator's Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last, the one that Herod could not kill, the one that Satan could not entice with sin, and the one that arose the third day, victorious over death, hell, and the grave. Amen. That's the who. Yeah, yeah. He didn't tell her the how, but he told her the who. See, Mary reveals unto us the source of faith. He is our source of faith. Looking unto him once again. In church, we're living in a world. We listen to the news. We hear things. We get upset. We allow the enemy to take our peace over these things. And let me tell you something, and hear me this morning. God has never had to call a special board meeting to try to figure out how to deal with the plots of Satan. Before Satan ever devises a plot, God has a plan. He was the lamb, Jesus was the lamb slain from the foundation of the earth before Satan had a plot. Moses, before Satan ever had a plot, God already had a plan in Moses. Esther, before Satan had a plot, God already had a plan. Amen? So, folks, we don't have to worry, let the enemy take our peace over situations and say, how is this going to turn out? How can this be? You just say, I'm not worried about the how, but I'm looking onto the who that's going to bring to pass what needs to be passed in our lives. You may say, Sister Tennyson, what can he do? Well, he can take a ball of mud and make man. He can take a sign and make a rainbow. He took emancipator out of the River Nile. He took a shepherd's staff and made a snake. He made a freeway out of the Red Sea. He took the dew of the desert, made three square meals. He made an army out of dry bones. He made a preacher out of a donkey. After hearing me, you'll probably agree. He made an elevator out of a whirlwind. He made a taxi out of a whale. He made a banquet out of a boy's lunch. He made wine out of water. He made the blind to see, the lame to walk, the deaf to hear, the issue of blood stop. He made a fool out of the devil, and he's making a church out of us. Amen? That's what he can do. It's not the how, but it's the who. And Father, my eyes, Jesus, they're on you this morning, the who that is able. Our son, when he was in California and attending Fuller Theological Seminary to get his PhD degree, he called me one day and he said, Mother, I need you and Dad to pray. I'm going to take some of the most difficult tests academically that you'll ever take. It's called comprehensives. If I don't pass these tests, I'm out of this program. I said, Son, we'll be praying. He said, Mother, the time is from 1 to 4 on Wednesday and Friday for 2 weeks. I said, Son, the first week, Dad and I are off. We'll be praying for you. The second week, we're in Montana doing a district family camp. But we'll be praying for you. The last day of the test, I called him. And I said, Son, I want to have prayer with you before you go in. We prayed together. And then he said, Mom, if I could just hear from my dad today, it would give me the confidence I need. Now, our son loves his mother. But he absolutely, Pastor, adored his daddy. Adored him. You would too if you'd just been like this. Come over here, baby. I need to whip you, honey. That's as excited as daddy ever got. I said, Son, daddy left this morning, Kalispell, Montana. He's flying to Richmond, Virginia to start a camp meeting. I'm going to finish up Montana's camp. Then I'm going to join daddy in Richmond to help finish that camp up. Dad will not land until the test is over. I reminded him, you'd be taking the test and he'll be praying. He said, Mother, I hear the circumstance. I've asked God to let me hear from my daddy before I go in. And I hear a voice, he said, speaking louder than my circumstance. He wasn't trying to figure out the how. He's looking to the who. When he got back from taking the test, he called me. I said, Son, how do you think you did? He said, I think it did well. But Dad called. I said, he did. He hadn't even called me. He said, Mom, I was locking my apartment door and the phone began to ring. Before I could get back in to answer it, the answer machine came on and cut off. And Dad said, Son, just called to tell you, I have prayed through. How many knows what praying through is? Folks, it means I pray till I touch heaven, but I don't get up until heaven touches me. Then I have prayed through. Dad said, I've prayed through, son. I've got confidence in God and in you. Don't worry, you're going to be fine. Love you, talk to you later. I said, Son, that's wonderful. When my husband calls me, I say, honey, it was wonderful you were able to call Alan today. It got real quiet on the other end of the line. He said, sweetheart, I just stepped off of the plane into the terminal. You know, I don't like that word terminal when you're getting ready to fly. It's kind of an uneasy feeling. I was on Delta Airlines one time. I looked at the word Delta. Don't even leave the airport. Just stepped into the terminal, opened my briefcase, turned my phone on. I haven't called anybody today, honey. You're the first one I've called. I call our son back and I say, sweetheart, what number is on your caller ID? I need it and I want it. He said, Mom, it's Dad's cell phone number. Let me play you the message. And as plainly as my husband ever talked, he gave that message that our son had told me about. Now, church, when my husband receives his phone bill, there's a call on that bill on that day at that time for 1 minute from my husband's phone number to our son's phone number. You see, God won't even cheat the telephone company. And you may say, Sister Tennyson, how did that happen? Folks, I don't have to explain it because I serve a supernatural God. How many knows a supernatural God knows how to take a phone locked in a briefcase overhead in the luggage compartment of a plane, take that phone and call a number in California, use the voice of a young man's father to give him courage? Why? My son said, I hear the circumstances, I hear the how, but I don't have to figure out the how. Why? I have talked to the who this morning, and the who has made himself real unto me. Amen. Hallelujah, God. It's not the how, but it's the who. Mary said, be it unto me according to thy word. And folks, we've got to say, God, help me to be able once again, in a fresh way, to stand on the word of Almighty God when you speak. I want to ask you a question this morning. How many knows without a doubt in this section, you know you're saved? Raise your hand. I see well, and you better put it up high. I'm an old school, and I'll be after you. This balcony area, you know you're saved. Raise your hand. Thank you. How many knows in this section you're saved? Thank you. This area of the balcony. Thank you. Why did I ask you that? How do you know you're saved? Because the word says, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Is that what the word says? We stepped out on that word one day, did we not? And trusted our eternal soul into the hands of a living God, did we not? All right. The same word that says I'm saved says I'm healed. Now, can I believe part of the word and not all of it? The same word that says I'm saved and healed says my God shall supply all of my needs according to his riches in glory. You lifted your hand without hesitation. I know that I'm saved. Why? Because you're standing on the word of Almighty God. And folks, if I can trust the most important part of me into the hands of a living God, how much more can I trust everything else that concerns me into the hands of a living God and stand on the word of Almighty God? See, God's word is not bound by time or circumstances. Hear me this morning. It's not bound by time or circumstances. God said to Noah, it's going to rain. It didn't start the next day. Time marched on. But did it rain? God said to Joseph, you're going to return to the homeland one day. They didn't start back the next day. But folks, when they left Egypt, Joseph said, come by here and pick up my bones. I'm going to be buried in the homeland. He had a promise. He was standing on the word of Almighty God. Honey, those bones crossed the Red Sea. They carried those bones for 40 years. They probably says, whose day is it to pack the bones? Those bones crossed the Jordan River and they were buried in the homeland. Why? Because God's word said it would be so. Amen? Time marched on, but it happened. God's word's not bound by circumstances. It didn't matter how many barrels of water that Elijah poured on that sacrifice. Fire was still coming from heaven. Now, Elijah worked 7 miracles. That was what was worked through him. More surrounded him, but he worked 7 miracles. So if Elisha received a double portion, we think he should work, for somebody, you're good at math, Pastor, 14. Well, you know what? Elisha died after the 13th miracle. But I can't wait to hear what I'm going to say next. One day, there were some friends on their way to bury their buddy. They saw the enemy coming. They took their buddy and put him in the hole, first hole they could find. It happened to be the grave of old prophet Elisha. And when that corpse hit the bones of that old prophet, that corpse came to life. And that old prophet turns over in his grave and said, there's my 14th miracle. Amen. Hallelujah, God. God's word is not bound by circumstances. Not only do we deal with Abraham, David, Mary, let's deal with Peter this morning. Peter fished all night, caught nothing. Jesus said, let down the net one more time. Peter said, there's not any fish out there. Honey, there wasn't, but it's headed that way. Amen? Peter said in his mind, how? I'm a fisherman by trade. I know the waters. If night doesn't produce anything, what will daylight hours produce? But he went on to say, nevertheless, at thy, he looked to the who, at thy word, I'll let down the net. And when he did, you know he caught so many fish that he had to call for help. Now, when he said, nevertheless, at thy word, what was it? It was a word of faith in the face of frustration. It was a word of hope in the hour of failure. It's a word of obedience in the light of seeming impossibility. When he said, nevertheless, at thy word. Listen to me, church. When you align yourself with the word of God, you put yourself in harmony with heaven. When we align ourselves with the word of God. Very quickly this morning, let's look at the who for just a moment. The who, his name is Jesus. He was laid in a manger, but he's still heir to the throne. His humility did not hurt his honor. He's still the Son of God. His circumstances did not change his character. He's still the perfect one. His death did not determine his destination. He's still the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. That's the who we're talking about this morning. Incomparable in his person, unsurpassed in his performance, and omnipotent in his pronouncements. Amen? He's not one of a kind. He's the only one of the only kind. I'm one of a kind, thank God. But he's the only one of the only kind. Never has one lived or ever will live like Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God. He's God and he's man. As man he went to a wedding, as God he turned the water into wine, as man he laid down the bottom of a ship to go to sleep, as God he arose and said, peace be still, as man he wept at the tomb of Lazarus, as God he said, Lazarus come forth, as man he was laid in a died on Calvary, as God he died for my sins, as man he was laid in a borrowed tomb, but as God he arose the third day, victorious over death, hell, and the grave. Amen. He's Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God. Incomparable in his person. There's not anyone you can compare him to. Unsurpassed in his performance. He walked on the water. He walked in the fire. He raised the dead. He healed the sick. He took 5 loaves and 2 fish. And in the disciples' hands, there were 5 loaves and 2 fish. But in the master's hands, they became a fast food chain. Amen? Jesus Christ, the Son, the who of the living God. And we need to begin to say, God, help us today to begin to look to the who. Dr. C.M. Ward made a statement one time when he was preaching for us many years ago. Now, you have to be a little older to know who I'm talking about. He used to be Revival Time choir speaker many, many years ago. He said, I was in California at a missions convention. And he said, I pledged $1,000 for my church that wasn't in the budget. He said, on the way home, the enemy said to him, how are you going to tell your board you've pledged $1,000 that's not in the budget? And he said, God, you're the one that told me to do it. How? Folks, let's stop trying to work it out. Results is not up to me. Results is up to God. See, when I pray for somebody for healing, it's not my responsibility to heal them. I'm just a vessel God's using, but God does the healing. So quit trying to figure out the how. He said, Monday morning, I'm walking the floor of my office. God, I need $1,000. I need $1,000. And he said, I heard a vehicle drive up outside. He said, I looked out the window, and here's this old beat-up truck. Some gentleman got out of it, had mud on his boots. And he said, I'm thinking to myself, here's somebody coming in here for a handout, and I'm trying to pray in $1,000. I'm going to give him $2 and send him on his way. And he said, the gentleman knocked on the door and said, are you Reverend Ward? He said, yes, sir, I am. He said, Reverend Ward, do you have a counter check on the First National Bank? Now, for you younger people, a counter check is a check that does not have your name and address or anything on it. If you have money in that bank, then you can have a counter check and write it. You have a counter check. He said, I'm thinking to myself, not only does he want a handout, but he wants me to write him a check. And he said, well, yes, I do have a counter check on the First National Bank. He said, Reverend Ward, I hear you on the radio. I like hearing you. I'm a farmer outside of town here. And as I passed the church this morning, the Lord spoke to me and said, go in there and give Reverend Ward $1,000. He said, I don't have my checkbook on me, but if you'll write a check out, I'll sign it. Brother Ward said, I quickly gathered my checkbook to write. And he said, hold it just a minute, Reverend Ward. It seems like when I stepped through the door, the Lord said, make that check for $1,002. He said, now, I don't know what the $2 is all about, but let's just obey God. Brother Ward said, I think I heard God laugh. And said, when that gentleman left, the Lord spoke to his heart and said, son, how long is it going to take you to realize when I speak, I'm responsible to make it happen? It's not yours to figure out the how. It's yours to look to the who. Yes. And say, I don't have to figure out how I can make it happen. I just look to the who that makes it happen. Amen? Not only is he incomparable in his person, unsurpassed in his performance, but folks, he's omnipotent in his pronouncements. When he speaks, it will be so. There's people that have powerful pronouncements in their realm of control. A doctor has a powerful pronouncement in a hospital, but not in a courtroom. A judge has a powerful pronouncement in a courtroom, but not in a hospital. A policeman has a powerful pronouncement from the highway, but not from the pulpit. A preacher has a powerful pronouncement from the pulpit, but not on the highway. But the one I'm telling you about is all encompassing in his pronouncements. When he speaks, it will be so. He said, to the sinner, thy sin be forgiven thee. He said, the thief on the cross, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. He put a leap in a lame man's leg, vibration of sound in a deaf man's ear. He put a flicker in a blind man's eye. His name is Jesus that has all power in heaven and in earth. And I don't have to figure out the how this morning, church, but what I do is look to the who, amen, and let the who do the work in my situation. Not the how, but the who. I want us this morning, we're going to close, but I want us this morning to say in our heart, God, I've lost enough peace. I've struggled enough with this how. I'm going to turn my eyes on the who this morning. I'm going to let the who take care of it. There's no way, church, you can save your unsaved loved ones. There's no way. See, let me tell you something. People can draw a crowd, but only the Holy Spirit can draw people. It has to be the work of the Holy Spirit. We pray, but we trust God. There's no way you can make things happen. But we serve one this morning that can and will, if we will allow him to.